2 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and sometimes prostitutes. Good to be here with y'all this evening. All right, episode 412. Who knew it? This episode, as always, brought to you by the Sovereign Health Summit. That's going to be October 27th through the 31st. TPC will get you 5% off, folks. You definitely want to be there for this. In fact, we're going to have one of the people that's going to be speaking there on Monday. It's going to be Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Gee, I don't even know if I could say her name on here without getting busted. But anyway, we'll see. I guess I just dropped another 50 subscribers just by bringing up her name. Anyway, she's going to be there. She's going to be here Monday. I was just on her program about 2-3 weeks ago. And yeah, I had her cracking up, so that's going to be good. Matthew T's cruising in, tuning in while he's cruising home. Abby, some of these names I can't even see with these glasses on here, but take my word for it. Everybody that's out there, hit that thumbs up. Tell everybody we're live so they can go ahead and start suppressing the information they don't want heard. This episode always brought to you, also brought to you by Wave Watch. Wave Watch. Don't have mine on right now. I took it off. I had to go to town earlier today. But if you want one, Billy 100 will get you $100 off that watch. Got about 1,000 settings on there for just about anything that's ailing you. Folks, I'm telling you, that thing works, and it works like nothing else. So go check them out. Billy 100 will get you $100 off. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. Hey, Dad, you might want to plug in the Rodecaster. I was telling you at the beginning of the episode, the music isn't playing through, and your microphone isn't picking up. The computer microphone is picking up.
No, so I see what the problem was now. The sound was turned down on the audio of there. So anyway, I could hear it, and I guess nobody else could. So, hey, here we go.
The Rodecaster isn't plugged into the computer. You're the only one jamming out. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, you're the only one hearing music. Yeah. You couldn't hear what I just played?
No. Nobody can.
You don't hear that?
No, Dad, you got to plug the Rodecaster into the computer.
Michelle, we got a technical snafu up here.
I texted Mom.
Okay, well, I think she's out putting the dog in there with the sheep. Well, hey, it do what it do, in the words of a ghetto philosopher. So I don't know what she did or didn't do here, but hey, we're going to run with it. So we'll pretend like there was music. We'll all just sing along together, okay? Yeah, so anyway, I'll just jump right into the farm news. Man, you ever have one of those days or even weeks where every single time you feel like you can't even get forward? Today, I was going to go up the side of this mountain and knock down more of this silver grass, and I just can't take two steps forward. I mean, something else happens, something pops up, but that's the nature of farm work. So I didn't get that done. But I have introduced that Aramina to the sheep, or at least through their water. Son, have you started using that yet?
We just got a big glass container for us to start using that. But no, we haven't used it yet. And there's also once you apply it, you have to wait, like I think it said 72 or 48 or 72 hours for the stuff to actually work and everything. And if you're not adding it to distilled water. But yeah. No, we haven't used it yet.
Yeah, so we've been doing it with the sheep over here. It's 24 to 48 hours, if I remember right. And it seems like they're really favoring that stuff. So far, so good. So, I mean, people were asking, you know, how do I deal with the water I have? Look, I'll just tell you right now. Okay, so it comes out of this well, which we thought was doing really, really great. But the people that piped this place did it all in CPVC. Yeah, not wonderful. So I was checking out the forums on Jack Cruz's website, and I was trying to find out why I was having certain ailments, and I couldn't understand it because my diet's on point, drink plenty of water, everything's cool. And he pulled up this study about some of these PVC pipes. So I'm like, okay, well, we already got a distiller. We got two of them, actually. So I'm like, okay, let me go ahead. And here's the process for those that were wondering, like, okay, you're not drinking it from the tap. What do you do? So at first I was just distilling it. Okay. Now, some people are going to say, well, that robs you from minerals. Well, that's not entirely the case, depending on whom you ask. So I was like, okay, I'll distill it. Then I structure it. I have a little handheld structuring device that you can pour the water through and it will structure it. Actually had it tested by two doctors. One is an MD. The other is a naturopath. Actually, he's an MD and a PhD, and his wife is a naturopath. They did the testing on it, and the water turned out great. So I said, okay, well, let me go ahead and try these minerals. I heard from Logan on Sowing Prosperity. He had, and I was talking about the last program. So here's what I do. I take the water from the tap, which comes from my well. Ever since that manufactured hurricane, the water has not been right around here, and I suspect it's been that way for a lot of other people. Anyway, take that water, distill it, take it out of the distiller, structure it, put it into a glass container, and then from that glass container, I put it on a your mom's in here. Like,
it's plugged in. I don't know what's going on.
Is okay, it if it's in not here? If it's not plugged in, then you got to change the input settings on StreamYard, Mom. I don't know if she can hear me.
Okay, he said you're going to have to change this. Okay, we'll talk about it later. Anyway, so I take it out of the, where was I?
Okay. You restructure it and then you put it in the container?
I restructure it, put it in glass, or I have a copper urn that I put it in. Yeah, in glass or copper. And then I take it and stick it on top of the Magnetico sleeping mat that I have under my mattress. So I got to pull the mattress off to the side. Now take that water, put it on top of there. Why? Because that was another little trick I learned from Jack Cruz, is that it polarizes the water. So, and then the only thing you can really do in addition to that is to basically do all of this in open sunlight. I would be wise to structure it in open sunlight and then put it, if you had it in giant crystal glass, you know, you could do it that way. That's the only way to make this water any better. So that's exactly what I'm going through for the people that were asking. Like, hey, man, you know, yeah, that's a lot of work to go through. But, man, I mean, I got to have something clean. I mean, it's not like the air I breathe, except for in my house where I actually have a Triad air filter. William has one, too. We got one for you guys. Yeah, my house. But you know what? 90% of the work I do is outside. So, you know, I got to have at least something that's going to be really, really, really good going into me. And I'm going to make that the water. Things I can control, I try to control. I can't control what I breathe, sadly. So other things we did around here. Folks, do not forget to water your compost. That is another thing I'm doing. So I'm out here watering this compost, and I got to figure out a way to structure. They make a device, and it's kind of pricey. I mean, like we're talking like $300 where you can put it on the end of your hose. Well, it will structure the water as it leaves the hose. I don't know about all that, man. That's a lot of money. But I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it. I mean, you know, everybody's tight on money these days. So, you know, nobody's the Rockefellers out there. At least I don't know any. And, you know, over the last, what was it, yesterday? Yeah, yesterday and the day before, I was actually able to go outside and get sun. So I'll take what little I can. And then, of course, today it was blue could be, you know, minus the haze that they put out there, which seems to be, you know, a fact of business these days because they're spraying at night. And, you know, then they covered us back up. So it is what it is. But I'm about to go examine a place here before long to see if this isn't happening there. So anyway, that's my water protocol that people were wondering about. So, yeah, just to kind of recap on that, and I'll kick it on over to you, son. So I take it out of the tap and I distill it. After I distill it, I structure it, put it in glass or copper, take it from there and put it on the Magnetico sleeping mat, which polarizes the water. So you can do all of that. Now, there's some other things you could do where you could flash freeze this stuff and you can make it a lower deuterium. But, man, I just don't have that kind of time. So this is one more thing we're doing out there. What you got going, son?
Today was spending the day most of the time just filming more permaculture design course content. If anybody wants a permaculture design course that's not taught by a bunch of purple breathing blue haired marchies, then hit up my Patreon. You can get certified there if you'd like to, or you can just, you know, get it, the information for your own place. So I was filming that today. And then yesterday, because some things that are coming up, I had to hurry up and get plants in the ground. I had to, so I currently have cucumbers and tomatoes out in the garden right now, and they survived their first 40 degree night last night. So that's good. And you're thinking, like, somebody might be thinking like, oh, that's not freezing temperatures, this should be, just be fine. Well, tomatoes and cucumbers, neither one of them really like temperatures below 50-ish degrees. So it's kind of a gamble. So yeah, we're going to see how they do. They survived their first night, and I think every night from here on out isn't supposed to be any colder than that. There might be one random night where we get like a late spring frost. It's not unusual for Texas. Usually in this part of Texas, they say like their last threat of frost is going to be around Easter, which me, you, and mom were talking earlier, and yeah, Easter changes every year. So, but that's our last threat of frost around here is like before Easter. So we're going to see how those guys do. Also got a bunch of stuff planted. I filmed a video the other day showing people how to apply compost extract on a larger scale using a pump, and like one of those oscillating sprayers, some do's and don'ts. By the way, guys, if you guys are going to be using like a pump and a sprayer and things like that to spread compost extract, make sure that there's no 90 degree turns and make sure there's no filters that are smaller than 400 microns. Any filter smaller than 400 microns, the organisms are going to get filtered out and they're just going to collect at that filter. And then any 90 degree turns that are like hard 90s and not like swooping 90s, the organisms are just going to go splat up against that wall. Because remember, we are like living, these are living organisms that we're dealing with. So we do kind of want to take care of them as we apply them. And then also nothing over 120 PSI. Make sure you're not, you know, just rupturing the membranes of these organisms either. But I was able to inoculate that entire garden over at the demonstration site with just one sprinkler. I didn't have to move it around or anything like that. And then you can take, what's astonishing with compost is when you're making compost extract is that it's no more compost required to inoculate a bucket versus a 300 gallon tank. It's the same amount of same volume of compost that you need to inoculate both. It's just shocking. Yeah, compost extract is one of the best things you can actually apply to your soil. I hope more people this year start making compost. I hope they start thinking about making compost right now. I'm about to come up with some more compost content here soon. Even though it's early, just remind people, hey, it's time to start making compost.
Yeah, you got a point there. You know, a lot of people, and just I want to circle back for the people that didn't hear it. We were talking with Dr. Will. And yeah, if you want to go out and buy soil saviors, knock yourself out. We got a link for it down below. If you don't, you better learn how to make really, 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 really good compost. And that's what we teach everybody how to do. I've done step-by-step on Patreon. I think in the future, William and I are going to do something of a webinar because there are things that I'm going to tell you to do, or I'm not going to tell you to do it. I'm going to tell you what I do. And if I were to say it right here in this platform, they're going to take it down. So, and there's also other things that we're going to have to do webinars on, because it's driving us crazy to know that we have the information that a lot of people need, but we can't just come right out in this platform. You know, I want to do a step-by-step thing of the do's and don'ts on how to get free food to feed your omnivores. If I get on here and tell y'all how I do that, I mean, I can't believe of all, I, you know, it's crazy. You know, they're going to shut me down for that. They're going to shut this whole thing down for that if I got on YouTube and showed you that. But people can sit here and do some awful things with children. And speaking of which, son, did you catch any of that Pam, that scam Blondie thing in the house yesterday?
Sadly, I listened to every minute of it today. I just wanted to see.
I am like, what planet am I living on right now? They're asking this broad direct questions about the cover-up, and she's talking about the stock market. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Really? We find this other guy featured prominently in the Trump administration, and then all they can say is, well, why didn't you ask the previous guy? No, 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 no. The information came out on your watch. You said there was no collusion. You said there was nothing. You said none of this was happening. And it just blows my mind that people can get away with some of the most awful things in the world. And because they're wealthy, because they're big donors, And it's the Democrat and Republican. So for all the idiots out there about to say, well, you're a leftist lunatic. No, I'm not. I am not. I'm just saying, how is it okay for people to do something like that? But I can't sit here and tell you exactly how you can feed your animals for free. Or I can't get on here and talk about how you can make compost and some of the things you can do in it without being canceled or without having a video taken down. You tell me, I mean, like, yeah, like somebody says there, Jesus help. Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is exactly the state we're in right now, folks. I said it before and I'll say it again. I'm not going to stay on this dark topic for too long right now, but I told you I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to do it, folks. There is no way, no way with all the money that we've donated and you have donated right here in this platform, with all this money that we've donated to rescue kids, there is no way I'm going to shut up about this until we see justice. And it fills my heart to see other people like Andy Frisella and a number of others out there that have larger platforms that are saying, no, not doing it. Jake Shields, absolutely on top of it. Other people out there like the Redacted podcast with the guy that used to work at Fox News. I mean, they're sitting there. They had Marjorie Taylor Greene on the other day. And she said that she literally said this. There was a fake video of her saying it before. There she was on Redacted. Just listened to it last night. That Trump literally told her, do not let this come out. It's going to hurt my friends. What do you say to that? I mean, we are dealing with the scum of the earth, and I don't care if it's Trump. I don't care if it's Biden. All of them are in on it. Four administrations that we know of knew about this and were letting them get away with it. And then if you do the digging around who Epstein worked for, right, it's right there in those files. But here they are. It's illegal for them to redact it. Like I said, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on there, but what was not your opinion, Don?
She didn't answer a single question. Not a single question she asked. Did she answer in any kind of form? Now, what I also noticed was that look how corrupt the entire system is. She's got a little book off to her side that anytime somebody comes up and speaks and asks her a question, she's immediately bringing up dirt on that particular person. She didn't come prepared to answer any questions, but it also shows that the entire system is corrupt. The entire system. We need to clean the slate in YouTube-friendly terms. We need to clean the slate and start over because not a single one of them are legit, except for Thomas Massie. He was the only one where she couldn't pull out her book and be like, oh, well, you did this and this. You did this and whatnot. Like, Thomas Massie's been super consistent. He's been very clean. And they took away the only leverage they may have had on him with his family, with his wife. At this point, he's got nothing to lose. But, yeah, it was just garbage. We're paying these fools. If you needed more of a reason to not pay taxes, there you go. We're paying every single one of their salaries. We're paying for this whole circus to go on. We're paying to protect these people. At this point, we are paying to protect these people, these pedophiles and these molesters and murderers and cannibals. We're paying for these people. We're either paying them directly or we're paying for their protection.
Son, you know what blows my mind? Is, okay, I spend a fair amount of time talking about what they're spraying from the sky, and I saw a number of people in the chat right now. And if you would, if you're late getting in here, y'all hit the thumbs up and tell everybody we're live. Anyway, I can't begin to tell you how many times when I do a video about spraying from the sky, there's always a dozen of boomers in the chat that say, well, why would they do that? Can you possibly ask that question now after what was just revealed? These people do the unthinkable. You cannot even dream any of this stuff up, and I dare not repeat it on here. I will expose the darkness, but I'm not going to give a whole lot of, I'm not going to talk about a lot of what they're doing. At least not the all of it's awful, but I think you get the point. But now, nobody should ever ask me again, why would they do that? Every time, first of all, if you're asking the question, you ain't going to understand the answer anyway. So how could anybody ever ask for any dastardly thing that pops up, any diabolical thing that pops up from here on out? How can anybody ever ask why would they do that? Because they're doing it right now, the unthinkable. And the worst part about it, son, There's a guy I know you know. He lives back in Kansas City. I won't mention his name. I sent him a text yesterday, and I said, hey, you know, I think we're at a watershed moment. I keep using that word. I think it's the only word that really makes sense. I think we're at a watershed moment. I said, if our country gets this wrong, this whole nation is doomed. It is doomed. And honestly, if we don't change our ways, if we don't go the path of Nineveh, it's already doomed. I mean, that's another thing altogether. But if we stay silent in the face of what's just been exposed, this nation is doomed. Son, he responded to me, hey, bro, I have no idea what you're talking about. I was like, what?
What?
And I'm thinking, how many pastors mentioned anything besides Pastor Chuck Baldwin and Scipio Eruditus? And he has a podcast also called Dispatches from Reality. How many people that have a flock even mentioned anything about this? You know, you were on your knees for Israel. You're saying, oh, let's pray for Israel. Let's pray for Israel. Okay, did you get the congregation on their knees regarding these children? Any pastor in America? Any pastor in the United States of Amnesia? Did you get on there and pray for these guys? Anyway, I'm going to leave that right there. And folks, look, I don't care if I lose people over it. I'm not going to shut up about this. This is the most diabolical thing that's ever been revealed in American history. In fact, this is the most diabolical thing I think that's ever been made known over the last 500 years. And nobody in the mainstream media, they're going Nancy Grace full time, talking about some lady that's been abducted, allegedly, if it even happened.
Anyway. That's convenient timing.
Yeah, how about that? Well, just hold on to your hat. You know, I know Joel Salatin's over there right now in Israel, and he's going to be there another week. I hope you get out of there, Joel, before they start dropping bombs, because it's about to get stupid, I think. I think they need to change the topic again. And the real president just flew in from Israel. So, yeah, we'll see how long it takes for us to start dropping bombs, because there is definitely something rotten in Denmark. Anyway, Denmark being D.C. All right, y'all, EMF rocks. Promo code PERMA will get you 10% off. Look, William's holding up one right there. I got my one in my pocket right here. Never go anywhere without it. So, yeah, it's going to straighten out all those EMFs. We've done a number of programs with the founder of that company, and that stuff rocks. No kidding. Got them all over the house. Also, Bond Charge, if you want some of these ball and glasses, BONCHARGE, 15% off with promo code PERMA. We've got a link for that down below. Or you can go there to the website and go check it out. Remember, it's B-O-N, not B-O-N-D, not my last name. All right, with that said, son, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We may swing back around to some of this, but I doubt it.
Well, hey, I do have a question real quick. What the heck is Joel doing in Israel?
He's over there doing a consultation for there's a group in the Golan Heights that has, I think he said 2,000 acres over there, and they're basically trying to farm a desert, and he's over there doing a consultation for him. And I guess he's going to be there. I was just reading it in his blog, and I'm like, dude, your timing could not be worse, man. I don't think I'd want to be anywhere over there right now.
I can give him a free consultation right now. Here's the only advice you need to know. Move. Go somewhere else.
Yeah, man. I would not want to be over there right now, especially you got another aircraft carrier heading that way. They got to change the topic, and I got a feeling it's about to happen here soon. It's probably going to be on the heels of a false flag. Whatever they tell you, y'all, it's a lie, okay? Whatever they tell you, it's a lie. So I'm hoping my man gets out of there before anything happens, because I got a feeling it might. But then again, we kind of thought it would happen. Oh, but we can't interrupt Bread and Circuses. They can't do it on Super Bowl weekend. Yeah, they got to do something like this. On another weekend, and I'll have to look at the dates and see if something makes sense. Anyway, here's our good news. So we got progress. CDC no longer recommends the COVID vaccination for children after FDA study finds increased risks of seizures. Huh. Hmm. Well, you didn't have to be Nostradamus to come up with that one. I mean, I'll take a win wherever I can get it, but good night. I mean, how many people are in an early grave because of that thing? How many children have been shot up with this thing and have having problems now? You know what? Stick around Monday, folks. Jerry Tenpenny is going to talk about that very thing. And look, there ain't no way on earth we're going to be able to put that one on YouTube. So that's going to have to be on the Rumble channel. So just stay tuned for that. But yeah, Jerry Tenpenny will absolutely be talking about that. All right, here's another one.
Well, on that note, remember, you can always find us on the audio platform. Any place that plays podcasts, you can find the Permaculture Pimpcast. So if you want to hear her, give her dissertation about that topic, then check out the audio platform or Rumble, either one.
Well, we'll be on Rumble 5:30 talking to her next Monday. So if you want to see it live, that's where it's going to be. And she is not going to pull any punches. So, yeah, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny next Monday. So NIH to commission – here's the next one. NIH to commission studies investigating ivermectin as a treatment for the big C. There's a doctor up in Canada right now. His name escapes me. His name is Dr. William Makis, M-A-K-I-S. He's up in Canada. Folks, do you know how many people he has cured of stage 4 the big C? Because I can't say that here in YouTube. Do you have any idea how many people he has cured? And they are literally trying to shut him down right now. They're trying to shut down and do to him what they did to so many other doctors out there, like Mary Tally Bowden and that one doctor in the UK. If you're actually helping somebody and you're going against the grain, and how is he doing it? How is William Makis doing it? He's using a combination of ivermectin and fenbendazole. And people are going to him when oncologists are saying, hey, you got about 6 months to live. And he's turning it all around just by treatment of that. So, folks, go ahead and keep going to these regular MDs if you want to, but I don't want anything to do with them if I can possibly help it. I mean, if anybody with any sense would try to stay away from those people as much as possible. All right, so here's the last one. Two nutrients that power strength, energy, and daily performance. Look, I'll save you the bottom line in this article. They're saying the two things that people need most is vitamin D and magnesium, okay? And I try to get copious amounts of each every single day. Now, the vitamin D is best when it's coming from the sun. And the reason why is because the light from the sun is not polarized. If you're standing in front of a sun lamp or anything else out there, it's polarized. Well, there's a whole lot of things your body isn't producing when it's not coming from the sun. Remember TINA, T-I-N-A, there is no alternative if you can possibly help it. But what we're being covered up every single day, you got to do what you got to do. And that's what I've had to do pretty much all winter. I mean, out here, you know, using this spurty sun lamp as often as I possibly have to make sure I maintain my levels. And for me, because I'm darker, it requires more. So anyway, in this article, they're saying, look, one actually depends on the other. And taking that, I'm not going to give you this advice, but go look at the work of Jack Kruse, Dr. Jack Kruse with K-R-U-S-E. And listen to what he says about taking vitamin D in a tablet form. Also listen to Dr. Alexis Cowan regarding vitamin D and when you take it in a tablet, something you should probably never do for a whole variety of reasons. You want to get it from the natural source if at all possible. And you can't even have your magnesium do what it needs to do unless your D levels are right. So let's go back to what we were talking about in the very beginning. Son, do you think there might be a correlation to why they're blacking out the sun? You think there might be something going on there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So they have the sickest, easiest control population ever.
Well, they're knocking out your ability to get vitamin D. If you go out there, I'm getting a spectrometer so I can go out here and test it. That's what that haze is meant to do, is to cut down the UVB. And that's what your body needs. And that's the midday sun for you to be able to get vitamin D. You're not going to make it without it. So that's what they're blocking out, the UV as much as they can, even though your dermatologist and all these other hoople heads are out there telling you, oh, the UV is so bad. No, it isn't. It's out there for a reason. And listen to the people I just talked about, and you'll get chapter and verse on why everything they told you is a manufactured lie. So just, you know, do your own thing, make your own decisions, but you need magnesium, you need vitamin D, the two things that American public is woefully low on. And you're probably not going to get enough. Now, you're probably going to have to supplement with some magnesium. I like Magnesium Breakthrough because it honestly works the best.
That's in this full spectrum too. It's full spectrum of magnesium. Most people don't know that there's multiple forms of magnesium. Like, and so if you've ever taken a bunch of magnesium, then you immediately like released everything that was in your intestines. That's just one form of magnesium, and it's probably too much of that particular magnesium. But there's six other, I think there's seven total, right? Seven total forms of magnesium that your body can handle or that your body needs. And magnesium is like one of those minerals that is responsible for, like, it plays a part in all of your body's different functions and everything. So it's definitely, it's highly important, and something that most people aren't taking enough of the full spectrum of. But Magnesium Breakthrough does have the full spectrum.
Yeah, that is definitely the best stuff out there. You can, I don't usually feel the difference, but I can on that stuff. So, yeah, Magnesium Breakthrough. But honestly, you can't make your magnesium work unless your vitamin D is good. So you got to get both, folks, especially in these times. And so with that, we don't have anything from Eric. He's tied up with a couple of things right now.
You wouldn't be able to play it anyway, Dad. the roadcaster ain't plugged in.
No, your mom came up here and fiddled with this thing, man. I don't know what's going on. We're having some kind of technical snafu. That's what I get for not praying before we did this. All right, y'all, my chronic silver, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Good night. Folks, when I say I use that stuff every day, I do. Especially that nose spray, especially on the days when I know they're doing something. If you feel something coming on, man, like T from Mountain Readiness said, man, there's a whole lot of stuff out there on the market. But this is the only one I've ever felt like really, really moved the needle in a big way. So if I have to go to town like I did today, I'm making sure I'm taking that foreign protein cleanse because I don't want to be around a bunch of germy people in Asheville. And second of all, I'm probably going to have some of that silver. And look, like I said, I'm G'd up from the feet up, man. I'm not some germaphobe, anything but. But I try to make sure that I have, look, I can do prophylactically a lot of cool things that'll maybe keep me out of that MD's office. Well, I'm not going anyway. Not unless I have to. Anyway, my chronic silver, 10% off with promo code PERMA. All right. So, folks, this was actually, believe it or not, this show was inspired by Joel Salatin being over in Israel right now. So he's doing something of a consultation over there. And if you read the article, if you read the blog in a nutshell, and by the way, the title of this one is Why Most Homesteads Fail Within 3 Years. Joel is laying out exactly what he's doing over there in the Middle East, in particular in Israel, in the Golan Heights. Stolen land. Anyway, yeah. And by the way, everything you were told about that Six-Day War, it's a bunch of lies too. And yeah, go look up the USS Liberty and find out. Just go look that up for yourself and find out what the official story is on that. And by the way, it's the most decorated naval vessel in American history. You might want to go find out the reasons why and who actually attacked it. But I digress. Anyway, Joel's over there in the Golan Heights, and he's describing how he's telling these people, okay, here's how you're going to have to go about doing this. You're going to have to set your fences up this way. You're going to have to do it around these rocks. And they can't even set up their... There is so much bureaucracy over there from their government that they can't even put up paddocks without the government say-so. And apparently that's quite an ordeal. So, he's over there fighting with his hands tied. So, you know, as I was reading the blog that he put out there, I'm also thinking to myself, huh, it seems like every single, not every country out there, but nearly everyone, including the United States of Amnesia, the biggest hindrance to growing any food at all comes down to the government. And a whole lot of reasons why a whole lot of people, that was one thing I came up with. But then I was also saying that you put other people in those same circumstances, they're going to quit. They're if it doesn't make sense, you're going to get sick and tired of doing it after a while. And folks, I know we've done variations of a show like this, but it's important that we revisit it right now because record numbers, ever since Trump got into office, the prediction I said while the campaign was running, what prediction did I make, son? What did I tell everybody would happen?
people are going to fall off with the homesteading, the preparedness, the gardening, the farming, all of it. They're going to fall off.
Yep. And it's happening. It's happening in record numbers right now. And we're going to cover some of the reasons why. But the biggest reason is my guy's in the White House. So everything's just going to be hunky-dory. So I'll just go right back into the Matrix and I'll sell this land I just bought out here. But there's other reasons why people go back to it too. Another thing with Joel, I remember him telling me one time about this piece of property that's near him. I can't even tell you how many times he said it's changed hands over the last 10, 15 years. Hmm. And there's nothing wrong with the property. It's just people get in there and they don't know what they're doing and they just quit. And so they sell it. And this happens over and over and over, folks. So I'm going to kick it off with this. Most people get in there and they underestimate the load. You know, social media does a really good job of talking about sunsets and chickens. They don't talk about broken fences. They don't talk about, you know, how to figure out how to, you know, what's going on with your hot wire. They don't talk about the mud, the exhaustion, or even the daily grind of doing this work. And if you're in the milking, you're never going to leave that farm unless you have somebody that's willing to come over there and do it for you. If you have a milking operation, I don't care what it is, you are married to that farm in a way that you cannot imagine if you're used to working a 9-to-5. So right off the bat, they understand, they underestimate the workload.
They spend, they spend too much money on the wrong things. They get all these toys, all these implements to make them feel like a farmer instead of focusing on, I mean, what they really should be focusing on. Well, we'll get into that point later. But yeah, they spend too much money on the wrong things. They go out there and they buy themselves this large, brand new tractor. They have absolutely no, what they could have got done with a zero turn or a regular lawnmower, they went and bought a tractor for to make it seem as if they're saving themselves time. You're not saving that much time, especially like especially with the acreage that most people are buying, right? Most people aren't buying like 100 or hundreds of acres. Most people are buying anywhere between like 2 to 25, anywhere between there. And most of the time, the acreage that people are buying, it's mostly forested anyway. So you don't even, it's not like you're mowing all of that acreage. And if you are mowing all of that acreage, maybe think about like, why did you get into homesteading? Was it to mow a lot of acreage or was it to raise animals and produce food and stuff like that? But yeah, most people do not need a tractor, but that's something that a lot of people are in debt for, they make payments on and things like that. And it cuts away from like money that you could be putting towards something that's actually going to benefit your farm as opposed to just being a depreciating like asset. You could always just rent a tractor. And what's cool, let's say you don't have the vehicle to rent a tractor, like you can't haul it back. That's cool. Most rental places will deliver it for you. In fact, there's one in Texarkana that won't let you pick it up. They have to deliver it for you because they don't want you driving around with their equipment, especially here in Texas.
Yeah, especially there, man, where every driver is. There's a reason why your vehicle insurance goes way up when you cross into the state of Texas. Son, I totally agree. And by the way, folks, I mean, Greg Judy has talked and written extensively about that very thing. People will say, they heard an Alan Jackson song and they decided I'm gone country. They go out there and buy a tractor, buy all these implements, and you don't need any of them. And it's not where you ought to start. I mean, depending on how you're farming, that's probably not something you really have to have. Okay, my next one is they start with the dreams instead of systems. I wish I would have worn the shirt. We got it where it says water, access, and structures. Well, many people jump into animals, gardens, and projects before they even thought about designing the water, access, and structures. I can't even begin to tell you how many people do that. I understand being excited about this, but it also... this is why you need a dispassionate eye. If you weren't raised in this, and even if you were, you should do it anyway. You need a dispassionate eye of a consultant like William or Eric to look at whatever it is you're wanting to do, or a neighbor you trust that actually has some sense. You want them to look that over, because if you're starting with, okay, let's say you got a piece of land out there, and like William said a moment ago, you go buy a tractor. Well, look, man, you don't even have water out there. Your uncle, Dion, I was on the phone with him, telling me that he had this employee that he was working, that was working for him. Check this one out. You talk about putting your stuff out of order. They had this single wide, and they bought up like 5 acres. They had a single wide. They put it out there, and he's telling him, hey, man, you figure out who you're going to use to do your well. He says, well, we're going to put it off a little bit. We're going to go to Branson. I said, go to Branson? For what? He says, well, you know, we just need a break. He said, but you ain't got no water. You got air conditioning. Check this out. You got power. You got air conditioning. But you ain't got no water going to your place. But you got to go to Branson. That's talking about screwing up your priorities, all right? You dig? So anyway, I'm going a little bit. That's an extreme example, but you dig what I'm saying? You start with your dreams instead of your systems. That's not the way to do it. Go the other way around.
In the words of Dad, that's Snooki stupid. Bam. And you're not even going to a cool place. You're going to Branson. You're going to the low budget Vegas for old people. Dang. This probably kills. I would say this is in least the top three reasons or killers of homesteads, and that's temporary infrastructure, meaning like your own house. So a lot of people, what they do is if they buy raw land, they'll get raw land and then they'll put up some temporary infrastructure or some temporary housing for themselves, whether it be like a camper or there's some people doing a yurt, which I would have no problem with a yurt. I would love a yurt. And probably far less pollutants within a yurt and grounding. There's probably some high benefits to a yurt, but they get into this temporary infrastructure with the plan of building their house in the future. But in the meantime, they get this massive garden going, they get all these animal systems going, and then they never get to finishing out that house or building that house. So then they're just stuck with like temporary living conditions that they're not happy with. Maybe like one spouse is happy with it, but the other spouse isn't. And then it causes issues there. I mean, there's a reason that there's a such thing called permaculture divorce. It's because one member of the family is more gung ho about this whole permaculture or homesteading experience than the other one. And then the other one ends up leaving. But yeah, temporary infrastructure. Get your house built first before you get into animal systems. I have seen one person, one place do that successfully, of getting in there with a temporary housing solution, get some animals in place, and then start working on their house. And that's Renewed Homestead. They're the only ones that I've seen that have it like quit during that process, because you don't have more time the more animals you get. Like, you have less and less time the more systems that you have on your property to go and finish your permanent housing. On to you, Dad.
Yeah, we've talked about this one before, and that's trying everything all at once. Folks, I get it, man. You're excited about it. You want to go out there. You want to go full steam ahead. And yes, this is a mistake we've made. I mean, years and years ago, you get out there and then maybe you're working with another family, which in our case was a massive mistake where, as I've talked about it before, it winds up being a Snoop Dogg song where, you know, got me some Seagram's gin. Everybody got their cups, but they ain't chipped in. You know, they'll come when the harvest is ready, but they put in no work on the front end. That happens more often than you realize. But anyway, trying everything all at once. So you got your gardens. You're thinking, okay, this is great. Got my livestock, got my orchards, got my fencing, got these buildings. And then that's when the burnout happens. You know, the burnout usually happens at harvest. I kid you not. Think about it. You put all this work in on the front end. And then when that harvest comes in all at once, and we've talked about this many, many times before, that's where you get the burnout. That's where a lot of people think, this was better in the brochure. Now, they're not looking at it in terms of, a lot of this comes down to what you, if you deem it worthy, what's the benefit? Right now, go in there and just go see what a head of cabbage costs. Okay, now ask yourself, okay, am I raising this? And then you got to think about your cost benefit analysis. You got to think about all these things. But because you're over here, you don't know what you're doing necessarily with chickens. So you got a lot of them that just died, like a guy just told me at the feed store the other day, or today, as a matter of fact. Or you got your gardens, you got all this stuff you're trying to manage, and maybe you got a 9-to-5 on top of it. If you don't know what you're doing, take one thing, master it, feel like you got a pretty good handle on it, then move on to the next one.
focus. The next one I have is, before any of your growing systems, like any food systems or anything like that, you need to focus on the soil first. Focusing on the soil is going to make everything else far easier. If you focus on the soil, you're going to have less pests in your garden. You're going to have less disease with your livestock. You're going to have higher fertility rates in your livestock. You're going to have bumper crops in your garden and orchard systems. Just focus on the soil first, and all of your other food systems are going to fall in line and become byproducts. Like, food is a byproduct of good soil. So focus on the soil first, make some fantastic compost, and then once you get your soil squared away, and you can do both at the same time. It's just people they put in the food systems first, and then they're playing catch up with the soil always. So focus on the soil first, and then your food will play catch up with your soil. Learn how to make before you learn, like, when's the correct time to plant whatever, learn how to make correct compost. Before you get, like, perfect grazing rotations squared away, before you get animals and everything, learn how to make compost, because your compost can fix all of those issues or all of those mistakes that you may make with your food systems.
Bad design has probably ruined more homesteads than anything else. So that's going to be my next one right there. And once again, folks, it means getting somebody with a dispassionate eye to look at your property. Think about it. Now, William can vouch for this. There was a doctor we knew back in Texas. More degrees than a thermometer, but no common sense. I've never seen anything like it. Never seen anything like it. You know, I'm a doctor. I know everything. No, you don't know crap. And in his case, it was the worst example of it too. But I've seen that more times than you know. Anyway, you're taking chickens and putting them in zone 5, even though we told you not to, and then you're wondering why the coyotes are eating them up.
Yeah.
You cannot do stupid stuff and make it so inefficient because, you know, supposedly your wife can't be around chickens. Okay, well, she didn't have a problem going out there getting those eggs, which were in closer proximity. She didn't have a problem walking, you know. There was a lot of manipulation going on, and there was a lot of dumb stuff going on. But anyway, when you put chickens in zone 5, you just made your life hard. If you take your vegetable gardens and you put them in zone 3, you just made it more difficult. There's a reason why we have zoning and permaculture. It is my biggest pet peeve is a lack of efficiency. I have quit jobs in the past because some idiot, even I don't care how much they were paying me, I have quit the job because my sanity is more important. Remember, I have that little equation that I work on. It's called TERMS, TERMS. Stands for time, energy, resources, money, and the S is sanity. If that side of the equation is not lower than the return on value, return on investment, future value, personal growth, and all those kinds of things, the answer is no. The answer is no. And a whole lot of people are hearing no from me these days. I don't care what you're paying. I don't care what you're offering. If you're going to drive me crazy, it is not worth it. I do not care what you're paying. And so when it comes down to design, you'll have somebody who does it emotionally saying, well, I feel like this ought to go. As soon as I hear that, I'm out. As soon as you feel like it should go over there. No. What does common sense tell you? That's what I'm saying. Any group out there that has a person running it that bases their decision-making on emotions, it ain't going to last very long. And neither will your homestead. If a person is calling the shots that does everything on the basis of feel instead of what makes sense. And I've seen it happen over and over and over again. And in every case, it always seemed to be there was some battle, there was some manipulation, it was idiotic. Or people saying, well, I don't want the trees anywhere near the house. Okay, I don't know why that. I can't even tell you how many times I've heard it in the state of Texas. Yeah. Dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. You're going to put a vegetable garden in zone 3. You're going to take your orchard and put them in zone 20. I mean, there ain't no such thing as a zone 20, but you're going to put those things out there where it doesn't even make sense, where your animals could be getting the benefit of the shade. I'm telling you, folks, I've seen it. It happens more times than not. Poor design will lead to a... Somebody's going to quit, guaranteed. Back to you, sir.
For sure. Yeah, if you don't get, like Dad was saying earlier, if you don't get a second set of eyes on your property and you don't know what you're doing, I mean, I can sum it up by saying this. There's a lot of mistakes you can avoid just by getting a second set of eyes and trusting their opinion. So, like, either go with the consultant, me or Eric, or just get like an efficient farmer that you trust near you to come look at your property. Cause that way you can start like off of their mistakes. You can make brand new mistakes if you want to. Now my next point is isolation. Now I will say that there are some people that are perfectly fine with complete isolation from everybody, but there are a majority of people that, that need that community, especially if you plan on, me, for example, I'm fine with isolation. I'm perfectly fine with just like me, the wife and the baby. I don't need to go out in public and talk to a bunch of people. I don't need to do any of that. But if you do plan on growing any kind of food, it does help if you don't have to convince your surrounding community why this food is better than what they can find at the grocery store. So if you can find like a community of like-minded people that understand the value of good, clean food and how you're growing is different than what they can find at the grocery store, it just makes your job 10 times easier. It eliminates that whole need of that debate or convincing people like, hey, this is better, or you don't have to convince them like why antibiotics and meat is bad for them, things like that. So I made this statement before in a previous video of sacrifice that perfect paradise for something that might be lower down on your list, but comes with community. Like for this part of East Texas, I live around a bunch of morons. And the video that I did not too long ago saying I'm out of this cesspool, saying I'm moving out of the cesspool, I didn't get one email that was arguing against me. I got a bunch of emails saying, hey, me too. I'm getting out of here too. Or thanks for putting out that video. I was about to move there. Yeah. As Dad has said before, Texas is better in the brochure. It is a freaking cesspool filled with people who are intentionally stupid. That being said, there are a handful of people that are really cool here in this part of Texas, but the vast majority are just worried about their truck payments, gay football, or things of that nature. On to you, Dad. So move to somewhere that has community.
Yeah, but that could also be a double-edged sword where you go to a place like this around Asheville. Yeah, there's a whole lot of community, but there's a whole lot of bums too. And there's a whole lot of people out there that are more polished than spit and more glitter than grit. And yeah, they'll talk big about community, but in every single one of the communities that are, established communities around here, nobody works. I mean, they don't actually, they sit there. Yeah. You'll get them to show up to a drum circle. We get these people to go out there and actually do something. They'll show up and expect to be fed and you ain't done nothing. No, man, that ain't going to work for me. Ken and Amy asked something and it's very apropos is putting a garden halfway between your house and your chickens the right thing to do? Absolutely. It is. Your chickens should have some relationship. It all depends, really, but your chickens should always have some relationship with your garden and they should be in closer proximity. So you're going to want them in a closer zone. So absolutely. That is that's the right thing to do without actually seeing it. I mean, I'm actually telling you, yeah, I think that's the right thing to do. So my last one here is going to be I think a lot of people, they give it up because there's no real plan for an income strategy. There's no plan for cash flow, financial stress, people save up for a little while. For example, to William's point, I don't care how good a chicken you raise in East Texas. I don't care how good it is. There is no way you're going to make a living selling it. Why? Because you got to look at the environment around there. I'm sorry to pick on Texas, but I'm just telling you the truth there. And I don't know about the rest of Texas. But right there, you will not sell. I don't care how organically raised any animal is that you try to sell. If you expect to get more than what you're going to get out of a grocery store, people will not buy it. I swear they would eat Doritos for every meal before they ever spent money. Now, they don't mind having a truck payment. I mean, it'll blow your mind, the lunacy that goes on in places like that. And I've seen it all over, you know, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, a lot of different places out there. Same kind of mindset with a certain type. But if you think you're going to go to that part of Texas and you're going to raise a bunch of broilers and you think you're going to be able to sell them and get a good market price for you, I got news for you. You're going to go bankrupt. So you got to think about the income strategy that you're going to be able to employ. Now, one thing that would work there is that down the way from the demonstration site that William's working on, there's a blueberry patch, a bunch of blueberries. You go try to sell those blueberries, somebody might buy them, but I'll tell you what they will buy. They will buy a value-added item. So if you were to make blueberry pies out of that and sell it, yes, they will buy that. But they will not buy the blueberries. Remember, this is a place where people overwhelmingly say, well, I don't want fruit trees out there because who's going to pick the fruit? I kid you not. I can't even tell you how many times that's been said to me when I was in Texas. But you can sell value-added items. You might be able to sell honey straight up because it's already sweet. You're not going to command a big price for it. But anyway, but if you went there with that income strategy that, hey, I'm going to go over here, I'm going to sell good meat, I'm going to sell honey, I'm going to sell this, I'm going to sell that, got news for you. You got no customers. You may think I'm crazy, but I'm telling you the straight up truth. They will not spend good money for good food. I kid you not. That's why you ever go into Texarkana, it'll blow your mind, folks. Every other person you see is wearing scrubs. Every other person is in the medical industry because of what I just described there. You're not going to sell good food there, so you got to be thinking about your income strategy. So if you got one in a place like that, you better be thinking value-added products. You're never going to sell chicken straight up. You're never going to sell whatever straight up. You're going to have to think about value-added items.
On that, the blueberry patch that you were talking about, if anybody's curious, if anybody's in the, I saw a couple of people comment saying they're in the Texas area, that You Pick Orchard is in between Mount Pleasant and Gilmer. As you're going to Gilmer from Mount Pleasant, it's going to be on your left-hand side. They've got like peaches, strawberries, blueberries, things like that. But one thing you'll notice at that You Pick Orchard, ain't nobody out there doing the you picking. They're all under that farm stand trying to buy some value-added products or pre-picked stuff. Anybody in Texas trying to go out there and pick fruit? I don't know what it is with Texas. They hate picking fruit. So my last one is going to be right property, wrong design. So a lot of people will buy a property not really paying attention to like what the property will allow, what the soil will allow, what the terrain will allow, what the slope will allow, things like that. They'll buy the property and then they'll try to force this design in on the property. They'll take like flat land strategies and apply it to like mountainous regions and it doesn't work. Or they'll take mountain region strategies and try to force them on swampland and it doesn't work. You have to adapt your design according to what the landscape will allow. Like you can have, like whenever I do consultations, I tell them, write me a list of everything you want to achieve on the property. Some of the things will probably work. Some of the things won't work. Or some of your goals, we might have to go this route in order to achieve that particular goal. But yeah, like allow the land to dictate what can be on this property, what's going to work on that particular property. For example, like your property, Dad, cows don't do too well in those mountains, or standard cows don't do too well in those mountains, but sheep do fantastic. Cows will burn too many calories, especially if you do something like Angus, like everybody does around there. You're going to spend a fortune in feed just to keep their weight, just to maintain weight, let alone gain weight. You're going to have to spend a fortune on either hay or grain or whatever it may be. And you have the higher risk of like leg injuries and stuff like that. Instead, allow the land to dictate what animal grazes in those mountains. Go with sheep. Some people go with goats. I wouldn't necessarily recommend goats, but they're still going to be better adapted to those mountains than the cows will be. So let the land dictate your design and adjust what your goals are according to what the land will allow. Or if you have goals before purchasing a piece of property, look for a piece of property that will like line up with your goals. So on to you, Dad.
No, that was the last one. But son, yeah, to that point, it was like Mark Shepherd says. I mean, he puts an exclamation point on that very thing. Like, you're not gonna, you don't want to necessarily build a cob oven in a rainforest. Okay, I mean, you know, it's not a one size fits all. Or, you know, putting swales up on the side of this mountain doesn't make sense. The grade is way too steep. Now, if you're going to do something like that, okay, a terrace makes sense, possibly. Or just not even fooling with it in the first place. Like William said, we sit here and run sheep through it. I can sit here and run a cow out here. But like you said, you're just going to go flat broke. And plus, they're going to destroy the land. I mean, it's way too steep. The impact that they create in an environment like this just doesn't make sense. So yeah, if you got flatter country, you know, I mean, you got animals, you got cows, or certainly a Dexter could work this mountain, and they have, but there's other ways to go about it too. So you got to be careful in your management. Otherwise, you're going to have some serious, serious problems. Well, son, is there anything else you want to add?
Yeah. Whenever you, if you're new to homesteading, or even if you're experienced, if you have any questions at all, ask someone you trust. You can always shoot me an email and ask. If you want a consultation, you can always shoot me and ask. I get the question a lot, like, hey, do you travel to such and such area? I'll travel anywhere to do a consultation. I've been joking lately, like, except for war zones, kind of depends on the war zone, because we're in a current war zone right now. But yeah, ask someone you trust for some help. And even if you can't afford a consultation, you can still ask me questions. You can still shoot me questions and ask and say, hey, is this a good idea? You can send me pictures. You can send me like any kind of information you have. And if you have a question, shoot it my way. Feel free to ask. And I also do like a permaculture Q&A. Every other video is a permaculture Q&A where I answer your guys' question. Because the whole reason I'm putting out this content is to help whoever's watching. So, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that's yeah, make sure you reach out to him regarding those questions, y'all. I don't do the consultation thing anymore. I don't yeah, I can't do it. Don't have the bandwidth. Don't have the time either, because the Sovereign Health Summit's taking a lot out of me just trying to make sure we put this thing on right. But I'm also just keep in mind, folks, there's some big things in the works right now, and you know, working on some other projects and some other opportunities. Just stay tuned, y'all. I mean, and then honestly, keep your, I know there's a lot of dark stuff going on in this world right now. And in fact, son, for days, I mean, right after that latest Epstein drop, man, me and your mom for days, man, we were just, it was like there was this giant heavy weight on us. Same. And we couldn't figure out why. We couldn't figure out, I mean, she was being crabby. And I guess I was wondering, I'm like, what is going on? I mean, is it something they're spraying? I mean, that sort of thing happens too. We couldn't figure out why. It honestly took a solid week for us to realize, man, we're just inundated with so much awful stuff as of late. And I'm like, okay, we got to take a step back. We got to do something different. We got to regroup here. And we come to find out that's exactly why, you know, we were in that slump. But it didn't last long, and the Lord is gracious. So, like I said, we got some big things coming up. Hopefully, y'all hear the outro music, but
they won't come through. Anyway.
I'm going to play it anyway, because I'm guessing your mom's going to figure out a way to do it on the backside.
No,
all right, y'all. Thank you so much for checking us out. Thanks, everybody in the chat. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
I'm listening to it.
Yeah, Dad, you're the only one.
Got the answers. All we need to do
is come from Saul. Permaculture dream. Let the ideas unfold. I'm grooving with the truth, truth, truth. Feeling nature's good. The harmony begins in the cycle of life, where the magic